Just a couple of things to announce and to remind you guys of, or to kind of let you know what's going on. This Sunday afternoon, Blake House's graduation is going to be here at the church. So we're doing desserts and serving for that. So everybody remember that. If you hadn't signed up to do a dessert, then sign up, bring one. You can bring it to church with you Sunday morning. You don't have to stay and serve. Leadership's going to, we're going to be serving and all of that stuff. So you can just bring it, drop it off. And yes, please. That way we'll know, because we're expecting 150 people. And if we've got two cakes and 10 pies back there and we're thinking, okay, well, the people will bring it and they don't bring it, then y'all ain't getting much dessert to snack on. So we don't want that to happen. So everybody bring their stuff Sunday morning. Even if you're coming to serve, bring it Sunday morning so we'll know what's there, okay? So remember that coming up. I'm going to be meeting with life group leaders hopefully within the week on getting started back on our next study. We're going to do a series of it's the basic series from Francis Chan. I'm real excited about this. This is going to be good. It's unique. I love his perspective. He's just an off-the-chain guy. So we're going to be doing that. It's an eight-week series. We'll knock that one out, and then we'll roll into something else. But I'll be getting with the life group leaders on that. I've already got the DVDs. Me and Lori have been watching the DVDs and all that. It's really good, very thought-provoking. So I just love his slant and angles on things. So we'll be diving into that here in the next few weeks. We'll start jump-starting that again. I know the life groups have been meeting informally and everything, but, you know, since the holidays are over, we're about to dive in and get more consistent on everything. So remember that coming up. Want to lob one other thing out there for you, just as a just to start praying about it as a body, and we'll see how this thing fleshes out and comes into fruition. I was talking with Brother Mike Gray yesterday via email and everything, back and forth. We're about some back and forth with some emails and all, and he is working on getting the groundwork done on a trip into summer to Kenya. And so when he just first started talking about it, my heart just leapt. I mean, I was just like, he's talking the end of July, first August. I'm like, Brother Mike, I said, my granddaughter's, or my grandchild is going to be born, you know, July 20th is the due date. I said, Lori Garner, I ain't leaving the United States until that baby gets here, and she's not making a commitment to go that soon. So I said, if you can roll it back into August, then Lori and I will be, you know, we'll be on it like a duck on a June bug if you can just roll it back. So they're still working on that. They're, this trip's going to be, they're doing a site study right now in one of the villages that's out. It's one of the couples that actually went to Haiti with our team. And they're doing well drilling down there, and also going to be a building project as well. So it's going to be well drilling and building project. So just be praying about that, on how that manifests out. And, you know, as I start talking about this stuff, if it starts leaping inside of you, that might be a sign God wants you to go. So change your life on it, Jeremy Crane. It will change your life. It'll change your perspective and all. I was talking to a business guy today, and he actually brought it up. I didn't even know. I knew he was a Christian, but I didn't know how deep and serious he was about it. And we were having a business discussion today, and he's like, man, he said, I'm wanting to go to Guatemala. Our church is going to Guatemala this year. But he said, my wife's scared. And boy, I just was all over it. Like, dude, you've got to go. That's amazing and all that stuff. But I believe God will stir these things in our hearts. So just be praying about that also. Well, if nothing else, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Just ask his blessing on the word, on our ears, on our mind, on our heart, so that he can just come in and challenge and do what he wants and needs to do in our lives tonight. Randy, you want to lead us in prayer, brother?
Lord, that we might. sick and on prayer list, Lord, and we ask you to be with the Kenya trip, Lord. It might be, it might spark something in us, Lord. But that spark will lead to a big fire, Lord. We just thank you for that. We thank you for the ones that have already been. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you. We pray ahead of time, Lord, that this will be a trip that will bring you life, Lord. Oh, we love you for everything that you do. I pray for the Black House boys to be here tonight, Lord. Be with them. Oh, we love you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. We're going to, before you turn anywhere in your Bible, we're going to be talking about, we're going to continue on where we were last Wednesday night. If you missed last Wednesday night, to me it was just phenomenal. I got so messed up by the word Wednesday night. Sunday morning I got trashed out during worship. And worship was just so, I mean, we got in that that place that where we just started free flowing in worship, and it was just so powerful. Jeremy said it was because he was on the stage was the reason worship was so great Sunday morning. And Sonny said it was because Linda wasn't here. So I'm just kidding. We always miss Linda tremendously when she's not here. She's such a blessing to this house. And I love the way that the Lord comes in and speaks to us and moves on us in different ways, in different capacities. Like last Wednesday night, the word just totally wiped me out, and then Sunday morning, just the worship and getting in His presence wiped me out. And I love that about God. We come in and He's always He is so multifaceted and so multidimensional that He comes in and it's just like, wow. With saying that, I want to kind of lead into what we're talking about tonight. Last Wednesday, if you remember, or if you were with us, we were talking about a word that God, I heard a phrase. I was listening to an interview from Global Legacy out of Bethel on my lunch break, and I was fortunate enough they were doing a live stream the exact same time during lunch break, so I just sat and listened to the interview. And one of the people they were interviewing, I think it was Paul Manwaring, he just made a general phrase as he was talking about things. And he said the phrase of stewarding. He said, we have to learn to steward the prophetic words that God speaks and declares over us. And then he went on with his stuff. And I have never thought about that angle before in my life. I've always looked at, and how many times have we heard, guard these prophetic words. You got to guard it. You've got to, come in and I used the illustration last Wednesday night about a safety deposit box. I said, I've got a safety deposit box at First National Bank, or what used to be First National Bank in Buchanan. Brother, I can't tell you where the key is, and I don't know what's in it. I know there's some old, I know they don't do this anymore now, everything's on, all the flash drives and all that. I know there's some old, prints from pictures and all that stuff when back from the day and everything. And I know we've got some of that stuff in there, but I couldn't tell you what's in it. As far as I know, Lord put $1 million in there and I forgot about it or something. But I said, that's what we do with these things that God speaks and does in our life, is we'll come in and we'll say, man, I've got to protect this thing. And so we'll lock it up in a place to where we don't have access to it. And we forget the key. We get the point where we forget what's in it. And I think, I'm glad you guys are here tonight. I hated that y'all missed last Wednesday night, but I'm glad y'all were here tonight. Because right now in this 10-month season in y'all's life, or 20-month season in y'all's life, God is going to speak and say and do some amazing stuff to y'all. He's going to declare some words over y'all. He's gonna start some directional things in your life and all of that. And it's crucial for your future success with what you do with these words. And if it's a thing where you come in and you take these words and you say, well, I gotta protect that, and you lock it in the would-be safety deposit box, you know what'll happen 2 years ago? You'll forget what God declared over you while you were in this place of separation for 10. And that's what this is. This is a place of separation. God separates y'all from junk. He separates y'all from bad environments. He separates you. Sometimes He separates you from good things because it's got to be about me getting myself whole and clean and right and all of that stuff. Some of the stuff He separates you from is your family and wonderful things, but there's a 10-month period of separation. Well, when God's got you in this time of separation, He's going to speak and do some amazing stuff in your life. But when you leave, if it is a thing that all you do is try to lock it up and protect it, you'll forget the man that you became while you were in here. You'll forget what God spoke and said and declared over your life. I'm convinced of that because I do it all the time in my life. God will speak this amazing word over me or something, and I'm like, ooh, that's good. 6 months later, I'm like, now what was it He said? Because I don't steward it well. Now, y'all know the difference in locking something up and stewarding it now, don't you? You know, stewarding is something where we come in and we cultivate it and we take care of it. And we nurture it, and we bring it to a place that causes it to grow, that causes it to be developed and all of that stuff. That's stewarding something. We used last week the illustration of when Jesus came in and spoke of the parable about the talents. And the master came in and he gave three different individuals the talents. One of them 10, one of them 5, one of them 1. Y'all know the story. And the one with 10, he did great, used it well. He got 10 more, was blessed, made him ruler over much and all of that stuff. The one with 5 did likewise. But the one with 1, he hid it under a rock because he said, I didn't want to lose it. And he came in and he said, thou wicked and slothful servant. And he took the one away from him, and then he cast him into separation. And if we come in and we do not steward these words that God speaks over us, these declarations that He makes over us, then we're no different than the servant that did a poor job of using the one thing that God gave him. So I want us to really look and think and develop this this concept that we began last Wednesday night. I had a conversation with somebody after the Bible study last week, and they said, Brother Sid, I sure did enjoy Bible studies. He said, it was really, really good. But they told me, they said, but God doesn't speak and declare prophetic words over me. They said, God just doesn't, He doesn't speak and declare those prophetic words. You don't have to raise your hand right now, but I think a lot of people in the body, they feel that way. They're like, that's cool that God speaks to Linda like she does, and that's cool God speaks to you like He does, and I think that's neat and all, but He just don't do that with me. And what happens is we think that God has a special affection toward me that He doesn't have for you. Or maybe a greater purpose for me than He doesn't have you. And I began to think about that, and I shared this Sunday morning when we were down here, and we were praying with people, and I told this to Brandon and Annie, and this is what I told the person that I was having a conversation with. I told him, I said, here's what I want you to do, is I want you to sit down when you are in your private, quiet time, your private place, and I want you to write down your life goals. Write down your life goals. And with me, when I did my life goals a couple years ago, I think I had 47 life goals. And they were pretty far ranging. You know, some of them I said I wanted to, you know, was like I wanted to build to be a part of building a church on all the inhabited continents. You know, hopefully I'll get to do number 2. I've got the Central South America. I'm number 2 hopefully will be in Africa this year. But that was one of my life goals. One of my life goals was something to the effect that I want to spend a month in Italy with my wife. That's a pretty cool life goal. But here's the thing about a life goal that looks like that. If I'm not willing to spend a month in Mozambique with orphan children, I shouldn't be willing or desiring to spend a month in Italy with my wife. You see what I'm saying on this? There needs to be, because if we're not careful, we'll come in. But I told the person, I said, here's the thing now. Who put the life goals, the desires in your heart? He did. He did. Now there's a difference in him putting something in your heart and him and something stirring up your emotion or your passion or your hormones or something like that, okay? Used to, I thought I needed some sports cars and stuff like that, and some of the stupidest things I've ever done have involved little, you know, BMWs and junk like that. You know, I'm like, now I'm like, man, I don't care. You know, give me the farm truck. I'm happy. I'm cool with that because my life goals are so much higher. But here's the thing. When we come in and we sit down and we write these life goals, I said, now these life goals that we write out, He put those in here. The Word says that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then He will give us the desires of our heart. And the reason is when we delight ourselves in the Lord, these desires of our heart, these life goals in our heart, are simply things that He put in there that are coming to fruition. And so if He put it in there, He wants it to come to pass. Now that's the thing you need to understand. And it's almost like the chicken or the egg thing. Which came first? Did He put the desire in your heart? Or when you lifted up the desire of your heart, that became His will for your life? What's the answer to that? I think yes. And one thing that we talked about, if I think I used this illustration with Courtney. If your grandson, came in and he was just, and I said, you know, Courtney is an outstanding hunter. And if he comes up and he said, oh, you know, Papa, I want to learn to deer hunt and all that stuff, then it's going to stir something in Courtney to where he wants to teach and release into his son, because his son is interested. People used to ask us, they said, boy, y'all must really love softball. I said, I don't care nothing about softball, but I love a girl that played softball. I don't go to softball games anymore. I'd go watch Randy play every once in a while when she was playing, but after that, now I'll find myself going to some middle school softball games because my daughter's coaching them. So I don't care about the thing. I care about the person. All right? And so here's what I'm saying on this, is when we have something that is whole and healthy and wholesome that will help push us into abundant life, that will push us into kingdom purposes, when we come in and we begin to have an affection and a desire for that, you know what it does? That sparks the interest of God that He wants to pour and release that into us. Just like me being a earthly father and grandfather. When my kids, the fly fishing just hadn't stuck yet, man. I'm still praying about that. You know, I got them with shotguns, but I ain't got them that other step yet. But when they express an interest, I'm like, shoot, yeah, come on. Let me get a little release this into you. And our Heavenly Father's the same way, guys. So I want us to understand and to get and to grasp some things in here tonight, when it comes to us stewarding these prophetic words and these prophetic declarations. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to go further than where we were last week, so don't think this is just a review of last week. I'm going to go further with some things, but I want us to hit a couple things that we didn't get to spend much time on last week. When we talk about prophetic words or prophetic declarations that God speaks over our life, how many of you would feel like, man, that just don't happen to me a whole lot? Maybe? You know, I don't know. And so the question that we have to ask, I wrote down the question, a couple questions here. Is it that He is not speaking to us or over us, or is it that we don't hear what He's saying? And the answer on that could be yes on both. Is He not speaking to us? Maybe He's not. You say, that's kind of harsh, Sid. You saying He takes favorites on this and all that stuff? No, but God's a good steward of His heart, His intent, His desire, and His resources. You can't show me anywhere in the Word where the Father is a bad steward of resources. That's what frightens me about myself sometimes, Brett, is God has invested heavily in my life. And I don't want to be in a place or season where I've become lukewarm or indifferent to where He says, you know what? This isn't a good investment anymore. This over here is a better investment. So I mean, you say, well, God's got unlimited resources. He does have unlimited resources, but He's still not going to waste and spoil and spill out. One thing I find interesting, when the father of the prodigal son, when his son left, the father didn't chase after him. He waited for him to come home. Here's the thing, if the father had pursued him and chased after him, the son would have never got it out of his system. If his father had talked him into staying, the son, I believe the son would have always said, He would always have that eye on the horizon. He would always have that wondering, the what if and the lingering and all of that and thinking. He wouldn't have never gotten it out of his senses. But the Father, you know what he did? He's like, I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. I've given you this inheritance, but now I'm going to wait for you. And I think so often God in our life does not speak to us because we position ourselves, our posture is such that God's like, I got to let this run its course. Sometimes He'll let us run amok with stuff. He'll leave us to our own devices. He'll leave us up to our own poor decisions. And we'll make a mess of things. And He hadn't gone anywhere. But He's like, I'm not going to chase you through all of this stuff. Maybe that's where some of you guys find yourself. I find myself like that in different arenas. Not necessarily with addictions, but it might be finances or stuff like that. God's like, really? Okay. I'm here when you get tired of muddling through all of this stuff. And so we have to ask ourselves, is it a situation sometimes that God's not speaking to us? I think absolutely it could be. Because if we're not postured in a place to where we want to hear the Lord, then He's not going to speak and declare things. He's not going to do that. And so we have to be careful. What does the Word say? To seek, to knock, and to ask, and we'll find these things. But if we're not in a place where we're seeking, knocking, asking, then is He going to waste the breath and the energy and the sound and all of that stuff? Not necessarily so. I'm not saying it would. I'm not knocking anybody that you're in a place where you're saying, you know, man, I'm just, you know, the heavens are shut up like brass and God just doesn't speak over me like and all that and stuff. You know, part of it may be how do you position yourself? The Lord tells us that if we seek, then we'll find Him. He says those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. You made a very, it wasn't a profound statement, but it was a real astute observation in something you said to me the other day, Beth. This isn't real bad personal, so I'm going to throw it out there, okay? All right. You just kind of learned to roll with me, right? But I was praying with Beth about some stuff and all down here, and Beth said something. She said, I'm just praying right now that I'll get real hungry again. That was pretty much what she told me. That's paraphrasing a little bit, but that's pretty close to what she told me. And you know what? She was hitting the nail right on the head when she said, I'm just praying that I'll get real hungry again. Because you know what will happen when she gets real hungry again? The heavens will open up. And God will fill her. And God will stir her. And God will move in her. And God will speak to her. And she will hear His voice. The closeness, when you get in that place of proximity and that place of open to hearing, as I get, I guess, older and a little bit harder of hearing through years of too much loud music and maybe too much loud machinery, and maybe I'm just getting on the other side of 50 now, my hearing becomes more directional. If I'm turned to where Lori's speaking to me, I hear real good. But if I'm turned over here and she speaks, I don't hear what she's saying. And she's the same way. And she said, well, I got a bad ear. But y'all know what I'm saying on this? You older people will know exactly what I'm saying on this. You know, it's like somebody will be over here and they'll be talking and you know, and I'm like, turn, I can't hear you. We're like that with God. And we say, I can't hear His voice because you're in proximity but not directionally accurate. All right? You're not directionally accurate. And so I think that's one of our things. Doesn't mean you're in deep sin, guys. I'm not sitting here and saying the reason you're not hearing God's voice is because you're in sin. I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply, Lori has a problem in her real, I'm not speaking metaphorically, I'm speaking in real life. Lori has a problem if there is a lot of different noise going on. She has a problem picking up something. If there's a lot of background noise, she ain't never been able to pick up words in songs. You know, she'll just fake it until she makes it and she'll hum along and sing her own words. And I'm like, that's not what that says. She says, I don't care. I got it right. They got it wrong, you know. I'll tell Steve Tyler he's wrong next time. But she has a problem separating all the different noises. And I think that's a lot of our issue. And here's the kind of the duality of this thing. Number one is we can't hear when all of these other noises are piping out in our mind and in our life and in our busyness. But number two, God's a jealous God, and God's not going to compete with 50 other noises going on in your ear. You know what He'll do? He'll say, I'm going to wait for you to... Have y'all ever tried to talk to your kids and they had the radio turned up loud or the TV turned up loud, and then you try for a second, you try to say something to them, but you know it's not getting through because of all the noise? And so, does Michelle do that to you, Matt? All the time, huh? So Matt was elbowing her real hard right there. And so you know what? You know what you'll do as a parent or something? You'll say, okay, whenever you want to hear what I got to say, you turn that junk down, and then I'll speak to you. And God's like that. And one reason that God is silent, if you will, is because He's waiting for us to turn, tune out, and turn toward Him. Because, like I said, He is a jealous God. He declares in His Word, I'm a jealous God. And I'll not have anything else before me. That's one thing about God. He's not a negatist, but He is jealous for our affection. He is jealous for our relationship. He is jealous for our intimacy. So I think that's some of the issues on maybe why God's not speaking to us, okay? And I think there's reality in that. I think we need to ask ourselves some good hard questions. Why am I not hearing His voice? God's kind of been blowing me up lately in the last year or two, but the reason God's been blowing me up lately is because there's been a transformation in my life to where my focus has been more on Him, and I'm trying to kill some stuff and separate some stuff and narrow some things and say, God, you know, I want to get this thing right, and I don't want to waste years, and I don't want to waste investment in my life. I don't want to waste all of these things. That God, I want to get this right. And I want to know You, and I want to press in, and I want a deep relationship with You. I'm tired of knowing church. I want to know You. And because of that change in posture and change in position, I believe that's opened up where heaven and God's been speaking more into my life. So I think that's just one thing that happens to us guys. Brett, did you have a comment? You like you was about to jump out there on something. Yes.
And it's communion with Him and His proximity. It doesn't have to be the big bell and whistle word or visiting preacher. It's, again, for every one of those, there's hundreds of nudgings of the Spirit that, to your point, you don't get when you're not in proximity.
You know what I found, Brett, is that I would probably say, I don't want to put a percentage on it, the vast, vast, vast majority of words that I have gotten from somebody else were simply a confirmation of what God was already stirring in me. It was simply a confirmation of something that God had already spoke to me in a place of private. You know? That's why I love it when I speak, when I give somebody a word and there's tears running down their face and they're just jacked up on God. I love that because I know that's nothing that what I'm saying is doing. It is simply confirming something God's already stirring in there.
In His presence,
I was listening to a minister a few weeks ago, and it was one of the Bethel ministers, and he was talking about the book of Acts. He said, look at every significant move of God in the book of Acts. He said it brought chaos. You look at it. Whether it's Pentecost, whether it's somebody getting healed, whether it's the Gentile explosion at Cornelius' house, whether it's Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus or anything like that, any time that God came in and did a significant move, it brought a certain level of chaos to something going on. And people are kind of like, you know, it's the reason I say that, because it's not always the comfortable, warm, and fuzzy, I got this big thing figured out. Usually when God's doing significant things in me and speaking significant things to me, it's outside the box. He's not going to come up with just a little nudge and all that stuff and say, you know, hey. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, that feels good. Okay, that's cool. So when God comes in and he just burst on the scene with something, you're like, God, that's not comfortable. And he said, I know. I'm trying to stretch you and push you and bring you into some places. Okay? So I think that's one thing with these prophetic words is one thing is the reality is sometimes God doesn't speak to us. Is it because he doesn't want to? But it's because we're in a place. Maybe we're in a season too. Sometimes God will carry us through a season to where, you know, I look through the Word and I see some of these guys and God will speak and declare some significant things over them. And then they go through a season where heaven's shut up and that doesn't mean God's mad at them. When Jesus was in the wilderness fasting and praying for 40 days and all that stuff, I don't think he was getting all this amazing directional stuff from the Father. I don't think God was mapping out the ministry for him. I think it was a thing where he was dying to self and maybe God was cutting some stuff. He didn't have sin, so we know he wasn't cutting sin, but God was cutting some things in him and getting him ready for what was about to happen. And we know the devil was hammering him for 40 days because it said he was tested for 40 days. And he will do that. Because what he'll do is the devil will come in and he'll say, you're not qualified for that. Because God will come in and God will speak something. And we're like, that's my flesh. You know, that's my church flesh. Not sinful flesh, but my church flesh. You know, thinking I want to, you know, and he'll come in and try to say, you're just trying to be prideful. Are you just trying to do this? Are you trying to do that? Are you trying to be a big shot or something like that? And he'll come in and he'll talk you out of it because he'll say, like you said, you're not qualified for that. You know, and the truth is, folks, ain't none of us ever qualified. I don't care how good you've been stroking it. Ain't none of us ever qualified. You know, but that's one of the tools of the devil. What else y'all think on this? I mean, this just thing that we're lobbing out here as far as just the, you know, God doesn't speak to us sometimes.
I think it's the way we use terminology, too. When somebody says, I've never got a word of prophecy, but that's the enemy lying, too, because he prophesies to us that I died for you. I loved you. Amen. That's a word of prophecy, that I loved you so much that I died for you. And when we open our eyes every morning, God's prophesying over us, I still have purpose over you. Mm-hmm. Or you would be dead right now. You would be called on, and you wouldn't be in this earth anymore.
Right, amen.
That's a word of prophecy over me every morning.
Right.
That's a word that I have to steward over every day.
Amen.
It's not always somebody laying hands on me and saying this stuff. It is God saying, I love you, and I have a purpose for you. Mm-hmm. And this is what you've got to steward today.
Right.
This is your word today. Get up.
Yeah. Amen.
And move. Do what I tell you to do today. So it's in our terminology, too, that the enemy comes in. He'll take truth, any truth, and he tries to weave it where it benefits him. The truth is, that is my prophecy for today.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll tell you, you don't have anything. You don't have a purpose. No, God, you're still here. You still have a purpose, and I still love you.
Right.
You know, I'm sitting here tonight, and I've got Polynesian sauce on me. been to gymnastics with the kids, and I was handing her food. But in going with that and being with those grandkids, I'm telling them, I love you. I'm going to be here for you. And that's what God's doing every day with us. He says, I love you, and I'm going to be here for you. Mm-hmm. That is Him prophesying to us.
Amen. Amen.
That is a word of prophecy everyone got. If you're here right now, you've got a word today.
Amen.
You got a word today.
Amen.
What she just said is Revelation 19:10, where it says, what's the testimony of Jesus? What is it? What's the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
And it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Right.
It's not this, you know, always this
huge mystical thing.
Exactly.
Well, I said something a while ago when I was talking about the potential trip to Kenya. And I said as soon as, and me and Mike were communicating via email. It was not we were talking on the phone. We were communicating via email. But as soon as I read that, something leapt up inside of me and stirred in me. And whether or not it works out for me to go on this trip to Kenya or not, that is still a prophetic declaration and unction that God is putting in my life. That I put part of the desire of your heart is to minister to the nations. Part of the desire of your heart is to go and minister to the less fortunate and the hurting and all of that stuff. And all that was God reconfirming a prophetic word that He's spoken to us through His word. So, you know, that stirring and that moving and that catapulting in me, that was a prophetic declaration from the Lord yesterday. All right? See what we're saying in this stuff, guys? It's not just the visiting evangelist coming in and calling you out and say, thus saith the Lord, and He gives you six lines in King James. You know? I know that's kind of what we think of sometimes, but a lot of time, one thing that we talked about, and I want us to think about with the different types of prophetic words, sometimes it is just a directional push. Think about Abraham. It was just a directional push that you go and I'll show you a place. I'm not giving you details, but you go and I'll show you a place. When God started, for no better terminology, when God started pushing us into the supernatural, it was just a directional push. Tiffany, He didn't come in with a game plan and say, here's what's going to happen. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to turn y'all on to praise and worship, and it's really going to start manifesting. You know, y'all going to go see Ron Canole and get rocked out with, you know, about 5,000 folks, and they're going to be half white and half black and all different denominations, and it's going to be something like you've never experienced before, and it's going to be a glimpse of heaven and all of that. And then your wife's going to get saved at some crazy revivals down at Christ Fellowship, or healed at some crazy revivals down at Christ Fellowship. You're going to see your conservative brother laid out under the power of the Holy Ghost for 45 minutes, pinned to the floor where he could not move, tried to get up, could not move. You're going to see stuff like that. You're going to see the guy on the other side of the stage doing God's Not Finished With You Yet and see your wife get whacked out again, even though the guy's 30 foot from you. He didn't say that's what's going to happen to you. And then you're going to get so hungry out of all that you're going to go to your Church of God cousin and tell him you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that you want him to lay hands on you so you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then about 3 months after receiving that, I'm going to wake you up in the middle of the night and first thing that's going to happen is you're going to hear yourself praying in tongues. That's what happened. Every one of those things is what happened. But God did not give us a directional roadmap. It was almost one thing that kind of drives me crazy about my little iPhone on the direction thing on my iPhone. It gives me one step at a time, and I like to know two or three steps down the road what's coming up. And it'll say, turn left in a quarter mile, turn right on exit, da 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 da. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. But when I get off, do I turn right or left? And she ain't told me yet. But if I'm pulling a trailer, I need to know which lane off the exit I need to get in because I don't want to be cutting across, you know, all these other people and getting a bird finger from 88 different folks and all this. So I would like to know two or three steps, but sometimes God does not give us that luxury. Sometimes His prophetic declarations in our life are simply a push. Sometimes it's a hunger. Beth, you know what drove me in that direction on every bit of that? It was hunger. It drove me out of everything that I had grown up in. It drove me out of everything that I knew. It drove me out of stuff that the denomination that I was in said all of that stuff was taboo. But the hunger drove me out and drove me into all of that. And that was a prophetic push. You come from a similar background. That was a prophetic push from the Lord. So it's not always, thus saith the Lord, I want you to quit your job and move to Africa. Or, thus saith the Lord, I want you to go start your own business. Or I want you to do this and this and this. Sometimes it is just a directional thing. And you've got to steward that directional thing. You know how I stewarded that directional thing? I went to crazy revivals at Christ Fellowship Church. I went to the Atlanta Civic Center with 5,000 other people. They were doing a live recording that night. I don't know why that one was so profound to me, because I went and saw everybody that you could go see back in the day and all of that stuff. You know, Stephen Church, Cap Chapman, and, Third Day and all of these cats and all that. But you were there with us. It was so good. They were doing a live recording on that thing. When they finished, when it was over, they said, all right, guys, we're going to do this whole thing again. Because we want to get two recordings, and that way we can edit out of both of them. And you know what? Out of 5,000 people, about 4,800 people stayed and said, yes, let's do it again. And it was not a performance. It was just, we're going to free flow in worship and all of that. But it was so profound. You know what? We were like, they said, we're going to do this thing again. And it wasn't like, well, I'm hungry. Let's go. We're going to go to the varsity and get me a chili dog onion rings. It was a yes! So it's just, a lot of times it's just that directional push that is driven by hunger. If I could do anything in this house, it would cause you to be hungry for more of Him. Because when you're hungry for more of Him, He'll do these things in your life. But here's the thing, is you've got to steward the push. You've got to steward the directional thing. And I think we fail for doing that because we want God to do all of this stuff. Something that I've got to make some investments in my life. I talk about this, and I'll drive 26 hours to South Dakota to go work the Sturgis rally, or I'll drive 10 hours to go to Daytona and do this and do this and do all of these things. You know, from a business standpoint, I'm flying to Minnesota on Tuesday. You know what they said the temperature is going to be Wednesday? It's going to snow the whole time Tuesday and Wednesday. You know what temperature is going to be Wednesday morning? 2 degrees. What kind of a sane human lives in a place where it's 2 degrees on a regular basis? But that's where I'm going to be Wednesday morning. And I'll do that in the secular. I'll do it in business because it's necessary. But God gives me these prophetic pushes and directional things. And you know what I don't do? You know how long I've been talking about I want to go out to Reading and go to a conference, Open Heavens conference out at Reading? Linda, how long have you been talking about that? Have we been yet? I'll get on the internet and doggone, I'll hunt every house and hotel down on Grand Cayman because I want to go hang out in the Caribbean with my wife. And it really gets down to stewarding these prophetic pushes. You know, we say, man, I feel like I'm called into doing some just short-term mission work. I just got a heart for that. Y'all hear me talk about Heidi Baker and different things, and y'all hear Grant and Jeff Vaughn, and y'all see stuff, and it just stirs in. Well, you know how you steward that thing in your life? You buy an airline ticket, and you go, and you say, well, I just can't be away from this for 6 days or 8 days or 10 days. You know, or the guy I was talking to, he said, me and my wife's just afraid to go to a foreign country right now. And I tried to, I said, dude, go. 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 High Mark 16 if you have to, but go. You know? And that comes down to stewarding these pushes. Stewarding these things. Stewarding. You know what we used to do, Brett? We used to go to Mark Rutland marriage conferences. Didn't we? Y'all went before you were married. Me and Lori went to them. I've been to several of them. I've been to those things. And it wasn't when my marriage was on the rocks. My marriage has never been on the rocks. But you know what I was doing? I was stewarding a prophetic push in my life. I'm thinking very seriously. My marriage right now is the best it has absolutely ever been. I'm thinking very seriously about going up to Free Chapel. Jensen Franklin's having one second weekend in February. I'm thinking real seriously about me and Lori going up there and going to that. And it's not because I'm going to save my marriage. It's going because I want to steward. I want to steward the prophetic push in my life. And that's crucial, guys. Here's what happens when we steward those things. You know what it does? It creates an atmosphere for an invitation for Him to speak more into us. You know how her back got healed? And this was a different issue with her back, not the issue she has now. You know how her back got healed? Because we stewarded this push and we said, we had friends and they're like, dude, y'all got to come to revival. You know what we did? Came to revival. We got in our car and we went. And I was a Baptist pastor. And I ain't never heard somebody speaking in tongues and guitar playing and all that stuff in my life. But you know what? It did not freak me out. You know what it did? It drew me in. It was almost like it was a doggone Star Trek, brother. You know, y'all have seen, I'm not a Trekkie, but y'all have seen Star Trek, and they get so close to the enemy ship, and it locks them in its force field thing, and they're like, we can't do anything. And so what does Spock or whoever the captain of the starship, what does he do? He just kind of sits back and says, just get sucked into that thing. And if you will position yourself properly, that's what God will do with you in the kingdom stuff. We've been there before, Jeremy, and then somehow life happened. Right now, I want to get back there. Right now, there's a burning in me above everything else that I want to get back to that place. To where I'm stirred and I'm moved and I'm called and I'm just, I take my hands off the wheel and I say, God, I can't do this. God, I don't even want to do this because of the, nothing brings me peace, hope, and joy like Your presence does. And if it's in a foreign country doing something there, if it's, you know, whatever, if it's going to a conference in Redding, California, if it's just getting in a place at Victory Fellowship 52 weeks a year where I'm positioned, where God, You blow up in this house. You don't have to go somewhere else, but you do have to steward it. I'm committed to doing our training, our disaster relief training. I'm committed. TW, if I have to fly out there for it, I hope they do it in Atlanta. It'll be more convenient for me. But I'm committed to that because you know what? If I keep saying one of these days I'm going to do that, you know what I wind up being? A 75-year-old man that didn't ever do it. Because I didn't ever have time and it wasn't ever convenient. We have got to learn to steward these calls and these movements. And when we do, then it's going to attract more. Okay? The praise and worship led to healing. The healing led to baptism of the Holy Spirit. That led to this. That led to this. That led to a prayer language. That led to these things. But it's because we were faithful and stewarding these things along the way. And I've blown it. I blew it for years, guys. Church, y'all know I blew it. Eddie, I screwed up for years. Not with big sin, but the sin of indifference. That's my indictment. I stood in that pulpit and I preached week in and week out and I preached the Word of God week in and week out. But you know what? In my heart, I had way too many mistresses. Because everything else would catch my gaze. And I knew I loved God and I was thankful for what He did. But He did not have my undivided affection. Sin of lukewarm. I live there while I was sitting in these pews listening to me preach. I live there, guys. I'm sorry. I owe y'all an apology for that. I don't know. I don't even know the time frame. I lose track. I know you're older now, but you know. I apologize to you, TW, because you sit here and listen when I was lukewarm. You know why this thing's so awesome right now? It's because she has got my absolute total 1,000% heart right now. And when I get like that with God, then I'll be fully alive to Him. Here's something, and listen to this now. Here's something that's, I love this statement. Your yes to one thing is a no to something else. By me saying yes to Him, I'm saying no to things that are not Him. By me saying yes to her, I'm saying no to any other perspective out there. See, we think we come in and we say, well, I can't say no to that. Yeah, you can when you say yes to that. And when I say yes to something else, you know what I'm saying to her? No to her. You know what I'm guilty of sometimes? Trying to multitask with my grandchildren. You know why her grandchildren absolutely adore her? Because she does not try to multitask with them. That's why they'll run by me and run to her. That's why they'll run by other folks and they'll run to her. That's why Caroline, sometimes she's all about Poppy, but she's always all about Gigi. Because she says yes to them. And when she says yes to them, she's saying no to everything else. Because see, what I'll do is they'll, when they're around and I have the opportunity from there, which is a lot, which I'm thankful for. But you know what I'll do? I'll multitask because they're wanting my undivided attention and ball game's on, brother. If you say it three times, I'll acknowledge you. But I heard Eric Johnson's wife, I was listening to her preach. She said, you know something that Eric does that I absolutely adore? She said, when my children were young and he would be at church all day, you know, he's ministry staff, he'd be doing his job. She said, my children would get so excited with anticipation that Daddy's about to be home. And she said, we would hear him drive up in the driveway and the kids would be like, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. And they would just forget everything else because Daddy was home. She said, sometimes it would be 5 or 10 minutes before Daddy would come in the door. And she said, I asked him a couple times, she was like, Eric, what were you doing? You were like outside for 10 minutes before you came in. You know, the kids are about to explode on themselves. He said, I was on the phone when I pulled up, and he said, I wanted to finish the conversation before I came in the house. Because he said, I did not want to ruin the moment of my kids having my undivided attention when I entered into the house. You know what I'm guilty of? God's not into multitasking. You know what He wants? You know why she was excited about going duck hunting with me the other day? It wasn't because she's going to kill a bunch of green heads. She did. She shot well. I was proud of her, too. She did good. Guys bragging on her. Calling her Annie Oakley. I was like, that's my woman right there. Yeah. You know what she said? She said, I'm on a 3-day date with my husband. That was her whole thing. If I was passionate about catching salamanders in Beach Creek or something, you know what she'd do? I'm on a date with my husband. Because it's not this. I'm conquering the world, and oh, by the way, here. I know we don't say that, but do we do it with our kids? Sometimes. I'm guilty of it with my grandchildren. Because I got a million things spinning in right here, right now, with business and all of this stuff, and I don't shut it down and like. That's why they flock to her, and maybe that's why he gets the word and you don't get the word. Because you're busy. Oh God, what was it you said? And he's got his undivided attention. I believe that, Jeremy. I believe that. I'm chiefest of sinners on that. So I want to position myself. I want to steward the directional by giving it my undivided attention, giving it my undivided resources, giving it my undivided. When we were the hungriest as a church, and I'll say this, a lot of you came out of the mainline denomination that I did. When we were the hungriest as a church, you know what we would do, Deborah White? We were afraid to go on vacation. Absolutely. We were afraid to go on vacation because we didn't want to miss anything. We would take our vacations that traditionally start on a Saturday or a Sunday, and you know when we'd start them. We'd turn a 7-day trip into a 5-day trip because we said, I don't want to miss anything. I'm afraid I'm going to miss something because God is blowing up so much. You know why God was blowing up so much? Because the expectation, we were afraid we were going to miss something. Which came first? Yes. What did our expectation, what did our hunger, what did that, God, I just want to see you move. What did that do? That attracted His promises. It attracted His Word. It attracted those prophetic declarations. So ask yourself, this place in my life right now, am I in a position to attract those things? You guys, a lot of you guys are forced into that because here I am, isolated, cut off, and all of this stuff. It's not a bad thing. It's by design. There's a reason you don't get to go home every weekend. There's a reason that family don't come hang out with you all weekend. There's a reason it's not a 5-day-a-week job deal. It's by design to position and get you in a place to where you can hear. You can position yourself where God can speak in. What time is it, somebody? 8 o'clock, 7:59. I got 1 minute. We're going to close this thing up. I hadn't even got the second part of this yet. Your yes is a no to something else. Your yes is a no to something else. The second thing that I was told to talk about, a lot of times these prophetic words are very specific too, guys. Sometimes God will give you something very specific. Sometimes God will just flat out say, I want you to go on that mission trip. I want you to go minister to that person. I want you to go help out at the CCC. I want you to get involved with the countywide crusade. Sometimes the word is very detailed and very specific. Your yes to that attracts the promises in the Word of God. Okay? All right, here's the thing, and I want to close with this. Y'all give me about 3 minutes, and I'll do this. Sometimes we say that God doesn't speak prophetic words to us. Sometimes He's trying to speak, and we just don't hear Him. In John 12, Jesus is talking some hard stuff to His disciples about His impending death, crucifixion, and all of these things. And the Father just kind of booms in on this. And he declares this thing, that I have been glorified and I will be glorified by your death and by your resurrection and by your life, that your life has glorified me. And the Father just boomed this thing out. And the Word says that some of the people there thought that it thundered. They thought it was just a natural occurrence. Some of the people there thought an angel spoke. They recognized supernatural activity, but they didn't think it was for them. And then some of them clearly heard the Word of God. Which category do you fall in? Which category do you fall in? What do you see? What do you recognize? I want to challenge you guys to get more spiritually observant. If there's somebody that's in here on a Sunday and they're just wrecked and they're sitting there and they're just crying their eyes out and just moved by the Spirit, and you see that and you recognize that, that's God showing you that so you can, you know what they might just need? Man, are you all right? Is there anything I can pray with you about? What can I help? What can I do? I looked over a Sunday morning. And my wife was just hugging and loving on Cheyenne. Because they've been through a rough patch the last few weeks. And them kids are going through a rough patch right now. And you know what she needed? She needed a mama in the house loving on her and saying, I love you, and more importantly, God loves you. And that's, you know what that was? That push inside of her that said, that girl just needs some love this morning. You know what that was? That was a prophetic declaration from God. It's not always rocket science. It's not always rocket science. You see this cat that's in need? That they seem like they're just, you know what? Go pray with them. You say, I don't know what to say. Sometimes all it takes is, man, I love you. More importantly, God knows exactly where you are. And you start praying for them. You don't know what to pray, start praying in tongues. The Holy Ghost knows what to pray. I don't want to freak them out. The other day, and I had to ask the Lord permission to do this, but the other day when you're in the altar and I came, because I don't do this with women. I'm real particular about this. You kind of like one of my girls anyway. But when I came in and just wrapped my arms around you and all that, the Father was just telling me just to love on you. And just declare some stuff. And you probably may not even heard a word I said or anything, but you felt the love. And you've got a good daddy. I'm not saying you're void of the love of a father. You've got a good father. But you needed to know that from a spiritual context, that in that moment I was God's representative, and then it was like God just wrapping his arms around him. That's what you needed in that moment. That was just, that, you know what that was? That was a prophetic declaration into your life. That I know you and I love you. That's what that was. So, Annie, have you got a prophetic word lately? Absolutely. You got a slew of them lately.
Or for myself. And then when I had kids, all of a sudden that shifted, and I'm thinking, I'm being hard on myself that, you know, God, why are you so far away? Why are you not talking to me? Not realizing he is, but it's for my children. You know, maybe I remember with Isabel during the night, she was a newborn and something's going on. I'm just, Lord, what is it? What is it? And he instantly gives me the answer. Well, that was him speaking to me.
Yes.
But I'm so used to him saying, go put your hands on this person and say this, that I didn't recognize that for a long time. And even now, I have to remind myself, I think the enemy tries to tell me and be hard on myself, you know, God's not really talking to you anymore. But then I see maybe it's, I need to tell my children this today or prophesy over them. And maybe it's not a stranger that I don't know.
Right.
Maybe it's my own children that he's telling me to talk to.
Amen.
And I think that's just the season that I'm in right now. And then as life goes on, that will change and it will, I think, grow back into more of the other. But for now, you know, I enjoy any time it is with somebody else, but I also need to enjoy when it's just over my children or my family. That's just as significant.
Yeah, absolutely, and more so. Yeah. And here's the thing that we need to do, guys, and I'll echo this, and we're through. But it all comes down to stewarding those pushes, stewarding those things. As you make those declarations and are faithful in stewarding that over Zion, okay, and over Isabel, as you're faithful in that, you know what it'll do? You know what that'll morph into? Then you'll start making declarations. God will give a push in you, and you'll start making declarations over his wife. I mean, all he wants is a bottle and a nap right now. But God, as you steward over that, those declarations, then that will push into stewarding over his wife, stewarding over his seed, stewarding over generational things and all of that stuff, okay? That's what that will do. But it comes down to us stewarding over these things, stewarding over these things, all right? Well, let's stand to our feet. Man, I'd like to hit one more thing. One thing I'd like to break off of you is the lie that it's always for somebody else. the lie that it's always for somebody else. God, just, I've done too much for Him to speak to me. What was the Apostle Paul before he was saved? Murder. He said, I was the cheapest of sinners. And that wasn't just from the fact that, but it was the fact that he fought against the real kingdom of heaven. He wasn't out whore hopping and all of that stuff. But he was resisting the movement of God. And other than Christ, he's probably touched, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. What if he'd come in and said, God can't speak to me like that. There's too much water under the bridge. I love the fact that he used Peter at Pentecost because 50 days earlier, 40 days earlier, he was cursing and denying Christ by the enemy's campfire. And God chose him to make the great declaration that this same Jesus who you crucified is now risen from the dead. Repent and be converted. Your name will be written in the Lamb's. And it was Peter. It was Peter. I love that. I love that. I want to break that off of you that God can't speak to you. I want to let every one of you guys in here know today that God can blow up your spiritual email with revelation, with word, with prophetic declaration. And blow it up. Just position yourself. Turn an attentive ear. Just pay attention. That's His desire. That's His desire. That's His desire. So this evening, if you need to move, we don't have communion tonight, but if you need to move, the altar's open. The altar's open. Just come on down. If you just want to say yes to Him, and by saying yes to Him, you're saying no to other things. By saying yes to Him, you're saying no to other things. That's the thing, is just a resounding yes.